Let's stand together. Isaiah 1:18. Stand and reverence the Word of God if you're able. I'm going to read three verses of Scripture and bring the message this morning that God has put in our heart. The Bible said, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." You can be seated. Pray with us, please, and pray for us. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege, Lord, to hear this wonderful singing, to be in this wonderful place with your people. God, I praise you this morning for the opportunity that you've given us. Touch my voice, Lord. It's been used a lot in the last few days. I pray, God, you'd touch us. Help us, Lord, that we might be able to deliver that you've put in our hearts. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning about the reasonable thing to do. The reasonable thing to do. The Word of God said here, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." God is not asking us to do something that is unreasonable. The Bible talked about over in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that you would present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." And then he said this, "which is your reasonable service, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God has never asked anyone to do anything that's unreasonable. I'll tell you what, it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to rebel. It's unreasonable, beloved, he said down here, if you refuse and rebel. That's what's unreasonable, amen? It's reasonable, and I'm going to show you some things as far as why this morning, the reasonable thing to do. I'm going to notice just three simple things in the message. First of all, I want you to see the Savior calling. The Savior calling. He said, "Come." That's a word where God is saying, listen, think about this. A holy God is saying to sinful mankind, "Come, come, come unto me." Amen. It's a compassionate call. It's a matter of the heart. The Bible said, "I'll behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." It's not only a matter of the heart. That's what salvation is a matter of the heart. It's when a person, beloved, understands their need. It's a matter of needing help. The Bible said in Psalm 119, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me." Let me tell you something right now. Not one person is going to make it to heaven apart from the mercy of an almighty God. Beloved, it's going to take the mercy of God and the grace of God that was purchased at Calvary for you and I to enter into heaven. The Bible said, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." God said in Matthew chapter 11, our Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is a promise from God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's the reasonable thing to do is to come. God says, "Come, come." And he said, "My burden, my yoke is easy." He said, "My burden is light." It's a matter of hearing. The Word of God said in Isaiah 55 and verse number 3, we're talking about the Savior calling. He said, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." Here it comes again. Even the sure mercies of David. I'm telling you this morning, I'm standing here preaching God's word because I serve a merciful God. He wants to have mercy on you. He wants to have mercy on me. Amen. He loves you. and He loves me, and I thank God that He does. It's a matter of heaven. The Bible said, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I had the privilege in my office this morning to talk with a young lady that's 9 years old. I just wanted to be sure. She said she wanted to be baptized, and I had the privilege to talk with her. And I'm telling you, in just a few sentences, I was assured that youngin's been to Calvary. Amen. You know what? She understood two things. She understood she was guilty. And she understood there was a Savior offering forgiveness. And she asked that Savior to forgive her. You say, Pastor, that's easy. I'm going to tell you what's not easy, beloved, is swallowing your stinking pride and admitting that you're a stinking sinner. Amen. And that you need a Savior. That's what's not easy. Amen. But I'll tell you, you can come to Him. And it's a matter of heaven. It's a matter of honor. The Word of God said, He said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. I'm telling you, beloved, when a person comes to Jesus, it honors God. Say amen. I'm telling you what, beloved, listen, I know when I came to Him, I wanted to honor Him, and He honored me, amen, with the gift of salvation. And it's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And then it's an urgent call. Beloved, you say, Pastor, why would you say that? Well, look what the Bible said. It said, come, what's the next word? Now. Now. Not a week from now. Not a month from now. Not a year from now. But He said, come now. And there's a reason God says things like this. The Word of God said, for He saith unto you, I've heard in the time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You say, Pastor, why would God be urgent about it? Let me tell you why. Because, beloved, you and I have no promise of tomorrow. The Word of God said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I tell you, I thank God there come a time in my life it got urgent, amen. I had to get that load off of me. I had to, beloved, come unto Him that He might be my Savior. It was an urgent call. And then it's a thoughtful call. God didn't just flippantly say, come. He put a lot of thought into this. Listen to what the Bible said. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. I'm telling you, there's a God, beloved, in heaven this morning that's saying the reasonable thing to do is come, come, come unto Him. You say, Pastor, and then this, I'm telling you, a lot of my message has already been preached in the service this morning. It's a personal call. You say, what do you mean? The Bible said this in Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto, the next word, me. Glory to God, it's personal. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He remembered a time when God came to him. He came to me and He said, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. It's personal. I can't be saved for you. You can't be saved for me. Your mom can't be saved for you. Your papaw can't be saved for you. And you can't be saved for your papaw. But I'm telling you, there's a God that said, come, come. Say, Pastor, what if God don't say come? Well, I got Bible. Listen to me. John chapter 1. This was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm going to tell you something. There's never anything wrong with God's voice. There might be something wrong with our hearing. We might be dull of hearing. But there's nothing wrong with my Savior's voice. The Word of God, beloved, I wanted to say this till the end, but here it comes. I can't stand it. The Word of God said, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Who's going to come? Let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life. When you get thirsty, you can get a drink.
Amen.
You can get a drink. You can get a drink of living water. The problem, beloved, is not with the well. The problem's with the thirst. There's too many people thirsting after the things of this world, not thirsting after the things of God. Now, I got some good news. You say, well, what if he turned me away? According to the Bible, Brother Preston, he can't do that. Here's what he said. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise. Ain't nobody ever come to Jesus and said, God, I'm an old wicked sinner. I'm an old wretched sinner. Would you save me? And Jesus said, I can't help you. Ain't never happened and it never will. I'm going to give you a little picture right here. There's a thief hanging here and a thief hanging here. Christ is hanging in the middle. That man has done nothing but wrong all of his life. And that day on the cross, he looked over and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus, beloved, didn't say, I can't help you. He said, what did he do? He came to Jesus. You say, well, he couldn't get over there. He's hanging on a cross. Don't you understand? It's his heart that got over there. It wasn't the rest of him. It was his heart that was turned to no longer say, if thou be the Christ, but to say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, beloved friend, there's the Savior calling in these verses. But then I'll give you this. We see the Savior cleansing in these verses. See, when you come to Jesus, you get you a bath. Amen. You know, I just got thinking about something last night. I got thinking about our little one, Sister Debbie, when they was real little. You know, when you set them over, we had one of them things, them baby baths where you can put it in a sink. You set your baby up in there, and you even have to hold the baby up, don't you, Lord? If you turn loose, it just flop. It just flop right over. You got to hold the baby up. Well, you can set that baby down in there, and that baby ain't going to get cleaned by itself. You know what that baby's doing? It's completely depending on mom and dad to do the washing. Amen. If there's any washing done, if there's any cleansing done, honey, that's why the Bible said you've got to come like a little child. You don't come and say, God, I'll clean this up. I'll do this. I'll wash this. I'll quit this. I'll start this. Oh, no, you just come. You jump in his bathtub. It ain't filled with water. It's filled with blood. Amen. He'll wash your sin away. That's what he'll do. The Word of God said if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. The Word of God said in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according, here comes that word again, God wants to magnify that word, according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank the Lord this morning. We have one. He said, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Oh, I tell you what. I've told this before. I'm going to tell it again. I used to weld for a living. And in the welding industry, there's smoke that comes off of the weld. There's grinding dust when you're using a grinder. Even when you're cutting metal with a torch, you just can't stay clean in that industry. And Brother Brian, I couldn't wait to get home. I couldn't wait. The company furnished uniforms. And I was like Barney, I like my uniform, amen. But anyway, they furnished uniforms. And I couldn't wait to get home and get that mess off of me and jump in the shower, amen. Now let me tell you, a lot of people think, well, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, then I get saved. Let me tell you something. What I did, you never did find me over at the sink washing up so I could get in the shower. Yeah. That's kind of stupid, ain't it? Amen. I just took that uniform off, all them dirty clothes, and I got in the shower. And I knew how to get the hair clean. I knew how to get my face clean, my ears clean. I knew how to take soap and water and get everything clean. Amen. And it felt so good to be clean. Get on that new uniform, amen. I'd wear it till bedtime and then get up the next morning, put it on, go to work, and make it filthy by the end of the day, amen. Do it all over again. I knew how to clean up on the outside, and I knew I needed to clean up on the outside. Generally, by the end of the day, Brother Turtle, my deodorant had done wore off a little bit. Amen. I mean, whew, you know what I mean? Two farmers working together, and one of them trying to be nice. He said, "Buddy, one of us, the deodorant plum wore off." He said, "Bound to be yours. I don't wear any." Amen. I knew how to get the outside clean. But Brother Michael, I had stains I couldn't reach. I had guilt I couldn't reach. I carried a load I couldn't lay aside. One night in February 1987, in an old-fashioned altar prayer, I came to Jesus, and He took all of that mess off of me and set me free. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. I told somebody yesterday over at the church where I was doing the marriage conference, I said, if you could get saved more than once, sign me up, line me, show me where the line is. It was so good, amen. But let me tell you something. You don't need to be saved more than once. One time will get it done for eternity, amen. One good bath in the blood of the Lord Jesus will get it done for eternity. Let me give you this. I'm trying to say a name here that's hard for me. In 1818, please listen carefully right here. This is important. Brother Brian, you being in the medical field and others that are in the medical field here will appreciate this, I believe. Ignaz Philipp Semmelweis was born into a world of dying women. The finest hospitals lost one out of six young mothers to the scourge of childbed fever. A doctor's daily routine began in the dissecting room where he performed autopsies. From there, he made his way to the hospital to examine expectant mothers without ever pausing to wash his hands. Dr. Semmelweis was the first man in history to associate such examinations with the resultant infection and death. His own practice was to wash with a chlorine solution. And after 11 years and the delivery of 8,537 babies, he lost only 184 mothers, about one in 50. He spent the vigor of his life lecturing and debating with his colleagues. Once he argued, I can't say that word, puerperal, maybe fever, is caused by decomposed material conveyed to a wound. I have shown how it can be prevented. I have proved all that I have said. But while we talk, gentlemen, women are dying. I'm not asking anything world-shaking. I'm asking you only to wash. For God's sake, wash your hands. But virtually no one believed him. Doctors and midwives have been delivering babies for thousands of years without washing. And no outspoken Hungarian was going to change them now. Semmelweis died insane at the age of 47. His wash basins discarded, his colleagues laughing in his face, and the death rattle of 1,000 women ringing in his ears. Wash me was the anguished prayer of King David. Wash was the message of John the Baptist. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me, said the towel-draped Jesus to Peter. Without our being washed clean, we all die from the contamination of sin. He closed with this statement, for God's sake, wash. You can't wash yourself. But there's a Savior that said, come. Come unto me. I've got the cleansing agent, amen. I learned something a little while back. I pulled my tractor under the shelter back there, Brother David, and it left a horrible stain. And I thought it was just the stuff on the tires from being out in the field. I wasn't worried about that. Just rinsed that off. But I had a hose, a hydraulic hose leaking, and it was leaking hydraulic fluid. The stain is still out there. But I got to researching how I might get that up. And it said, Brother Houston, to take, it's concrete, sacrete, but not with the gravels and stuff. It's stuff like you would make concrete out of. And just sprinkle it on top of it, and it would draw it out of the concrete. I didn't know that. Did you know the world's full of people that don't know the only cleansing agent for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ? Did you know that in our churches, beloved, there's people still sitting in our churches that have never been washed? That have never been washed? Why have they never been washed? Because they never came to the one who does the washing. His name is Jesus. There's only one whitener. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There's only one cleansing agent. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded as I read that, wash their robes. Brother Rightly Salling, in my estimation, was a prince of preachers. Oh, how I miss him, how I loved him. I tell people he was so sweet. Brother Chris, when he spoke, honey, run out of both sides of his mouth. If you ever knew him, I'm telling you. To hear him say the word precious one more time, I'm telling you, he's a blessing. But Brother Rightly would ask the question. Here was the question. He'd say, Are you whitewashed? That's what the Pharisees were. Whitewashed. They looked good on the outside. But Jesus said, On the inside, you're full of dead men's bones.
Amen.
Brother Rightly would say, Are you whitewashed or are you washed white?
Amen.
I tell you, beloved, listen, you ever meet Jesus? He's not interested in whitewashing you. Amen. If you've ever used any whitewash on a fence or whatever, it don't take it long. It's gone. But honey, he'll wash you white as snow. That's what the Word of God said. Amen. He'll wash you white. Now, one more thing and I'm done. Finished, Miss Eve. About done. I feel like I'm cooked. Amen. Watch this now. We see the reasonable thing to do. We see the Savior calling. We see the Savior cleansing. But I want you to see the scriptural condition. This will never, ever, Brother Stephen, happen against a person's will. Our Lord Jesus will knock at the heart's door. But he will never knock the door down. He'll never do it. Watch this now. You say, Pastor, what is the scriptural condition? Look at verse 19. If you be willing and obedient. The Bible talks about obeying the gospel. What that means is you come to a place, as Brother Billy Mitchell said years ago, where you take sides with God against yourself. And you put your faith and your trust in the one that died, was buried, and rose again the third day. The one that was born of a virgin. The one that never made a mistake. The one that never thought one unkind thought. He said, I do always those things which please the Father. The one that was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. His name is Jesus. The one that was born of a virgin. I'm just going to throw this out there, beloved. Listen, take it for whatever it's worth. God never intended for us to worship the virgin. He intended for us to worship the Savior. Mary, thank God for Mary. She was a blessed woman. She was a pure woman that God could use. But I'm telling you, she's not the Savior. I'm telling you, beloved, if you just listen to what Mary said, you'd be better off. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. If Mary had some kind of supernatural power, she'd say, let me tell you what to do. That wedding at Cana of Galilee, they had a problem. She knew the problem solver. Wasn't her. It's her son. It's the Lord Jesus. Amen. What a blessing that is. So we see the scriptural condition. If you be willing and obedient. Then in the next verse he said, if you rebel. That's where everybody's at, really. They're either willing and obedient or they're rebelling. Really. That's where. So what difference does it make? I'll tell you what, the willing and obedient go to heaven when they leave this world. The rebelling, the rebel, they go to the one that, that place where the first one that rebelled. Old Satan, he rebelled in heaven, was cast out of heaven. They go to that awful place. You remember the two thieves on the cross that I told you about? I'm just about completely finished here. If you'll read your Bible throughout the crucifixion, both of them were saying the same thing. If thou be the Christ, if, come down and get us down. I don't think it's any accident that the way that it takes place, the order that things takes place, right after Jesus cried from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you understand? They've pulled his beard. He's got black eyes where they wrapped a blindfold around him and hit him and said, prophesy, who hit you? His back, Brother Chris, is busted wide open with that cat of nine tails. He's got nails in his hands. He's got nails in his feet. He's got a crown of thorns pulled down in his head. There's blood running everywhere. And as bad as all that is, they've spit on him. There's spit running down. You say, why would anybody go through that? Because he loves us. He knew that you and I could not pay the price for sin. He said, Father, I'll go. And it was determined before the foundation of the world that a lamb would be slain so that I could come one night needing mercy and God could have mercy on me. I don't know about you, but I can tell you this, that thief that quit saying if, and he looked over and said, Lord, all of a sudden, do you understand why they crucified Jesus? Because he said he was the Son of God. This generation may not understand it, Colin, but they understood when he said he's the Son of God that he made himself equal with God. They understood that. And you know what? That thief come to a place, Brother Chris, where he said, I ain't got no problem with that. I believe you are exactly who you said you are, the Son of the living God. You can go a lot of places without Jesus. You can do a lot of things without Jesus. But you can't be forgiven without Jesus. And you can't go to heaven without Jesus. You can't do it. He's saying to someone this morning, maybe more than one, come. Church, let me give you this. Those of you that are here and you're born again and you know you're born again. In the invitation time, we ought to be real, real careful with our attention, what we're thinking about. Because the Bible said the Spirit and the bride say come. We're the bride of Christ, Brother Chris. That ought to be all that's on our minds. Somebody come. Somebody come. That ought to be all that's consuming our thoughts. Come. Come. Jesus says this morning, come. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you some rest. I'll tell you, sin is a heavy load. How many can say amen to that? Boy, I'm glad I found out where to unload it at Calvary. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, for your people. Lord, I thank you for people attending, Lord, that don't yet know you. God, how I pray, they'll come. That's all you ask them to do is come. Come. Surely, Lord, no one would come without believing that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. No one would come without a need to come, knowing that they're guilty before God. God, I pray this morning in this invitation that we'd come. I pray, Lord, God's people would make sure that their life, their speech, their actions are saying to a lost and dying world, come, come. Lord, maybe there's several here today that are thirsty. They need a drink of living water. I pray, God, they'll come. Let's stand to our feet this morning.